Today's shiur is Masechta Babasra Daf Mem Aleph. We will begin on Daf Mem Aleph Amud Aleph at the Mishnah. It says the Mishnah, Kol Chazaka She'eina Mitayna, any Chazaka, as we've learned so many times, that is not supported with a claim by the person having the Chazaka, any Chazaka is not a valid Chazaka. You have to be able to back up the Chazaka with a valid claim why you're on this property. So just to put into perspective the number of types of chazakas we're discussing in this parak. Certainly in a situation of cheskes karka, when I'm on property, for the chazaka to be a valid chazaka, it has to be that I'm there for 3 years, and I have to have a valid claim backing up my chazaka. Metaltlin, we learned, you could have a chazaka immediately. Machloikus Rishonim, even if we're going to say metatlin, the chazak is achieved immediately, does it still have to have a taino or not? Do you have to have a valid claim to back up your chazaka? And then there's a third type of chazaka, which is known as cheskes tashmishin, a chazaka that I have a right to use something. Let's say I have a right to park my car in your garage or to do something on your property. That's called the cheskes tashmishin. And there is a double machlokes rishonim. One machlokes rishonim is, do you have a cheskes tashmishin immediately, or do you need 3 years? And a second machlokes is, that does a cheskes tashmishin require a taina? Do you have to have a claim to back up your chazaka? Or the chazaka is valid without a claim? The chazaka is valid even without a claim. Machlokes rishonim. Actually, I saw that the Mefarshim say, the Paiskim discuss an interesting shaila. There was somebody, an individual, who had a chazaka in a shul. He has a chazaka to get a certain aliyah. He has a chazaka to get mafta yoyna every year. He has a chazaka for a certain seat in the shul. And he has the chazaka, let's say, for more than 3 years. But he doesn't have or remember if he has a claim to that chazaka. Is that a valid chazaka that he should be able to continue getting that aliyah or whatever other kibbutz is on the discussion? And the Paiskim say it's really connected to the shaila of cheskes tashmishin. Because we could argue that by karka, what am I doing on your property without a reason for being on your property? On the other hand, if I have a cheskes tashmishin, there's no way you would have allowed that to happen unless there was a good reason that it happened, and therefore I don't need a taina. Others say a taina is required. Although, I did see that the Paiskim go on to say that when we speak about a chazaka of a mitzvah, is the examples that I gave. I have a chazaka to get an aliyah. I have a chazaka to have a certain seat in the shul. That if I got that chazaka, it must have been for a reason that I have that chazaka. But let's say I have a chazaka that I sweep the floor of the shul. That nobody could argue I got because it was given to me as a kibbut. It's not a kibbut to sweep the floor of the shul. And there, nobody could claim that he has a chazaka. The Gra says, now we could understand why a child or a cherishoit of a cotton cannot have a chazaka. Because our mission is teaching us that for chazaka to be considered a valid chazaka, it has to be supported with a taina. Children, cherishoit of a cotton, don't have the ability to make a taina. Ketzad. So goes on the Mishnah to say, Amaloi, if I'm on the property and you say to me, Ma ata oisa b'toich shaloi, what are you doing in this property? It belongs to me. Lu amaloi, shaloi amali adam dover moilim. Nobody ever told me to leave this property. Ein a chazaka. And the Rishonim make a number of points. One is a machloikus Rishonim. I'm on the property, I have a chazaka, but I don't have a claim to back it up. And you're the Morakama. So the Rishonim debate, what does it take to be a Morakama? Some Rishonim say that if you want to be considered the Morakama, that you should be able to void my chazaka, you have to bring Edim that you're the Morakama. Just by saying it alone, that won't give you the status of Morakama. Other Rishonim argue, and they say that somebody could achieve the status of Morakama just by saying Bari, I am the Marakama. And actually, this Machloikus Rishonim is connected to another Machloikus Rishonim. Because our Mishnah is clearly telling us that if I only have a chazaka, she'ena maitaina, it's not a winning chazaka, as we've been discussing. So the Rishonim say, so now the Marakam will prevail. So Rishonim debate, will the Marakam need to make a shvua to completely prevail? If we say that the Marakam is only considered a Marakama if he brings Edim, then he doesn't have to make a shvua. But if, on the other hand, to be a Marakama, you don't need Edim, then a shvua would be required. Similarly, there's a debate amongst the Rishonim. If I have a chazaka shiyeshi maitaina, that we've been learning the entire parak, then I prevail. Will I need to make a shvua to prevail? Or is the chazaka shiyeshi maitaina enough to make me prevail? However, if besides having chazaka, I make a claim, shemachartali, shenasatli matana, that I bought this, I got it as a gift, avicha machrali, your father sold me this property, avicha nasli matana, your father gave it to me as a gift, hareza chazaka, that's a claim that I could win with that chazaka. Says the Mishnah further, and we're going to discuss this more in the Gemara Mitzvah Shem, abba mashim yerusha, if I'm on a property, I have a chazaka on this property, but I don't have a claim because I didn't buy the property. I got to be Yerusha for my father. Such an individual, and we're qualified as Mitzvah in the Gemara, and it's Tzarech Taina. The chazaka is a good chazaka, even though he doesn't have a claim to support his chazaka. Says Reb Cheskel Abramsky in the Sefer Chazon Yecheskel, based on this last line in the Mishnah. We said at the beginning of our Mishnah, we actually learned this halacha many times before we learned this Mishnah, that for chazaka to be considered a valid chazaka, it has to be a chazaka sheyesh maitaina. It has to have a chazaka that's backed up with a claim. So there's two ways of understanding that rule. One way of understanding that rule is that a chazaka without a taina is not a chazaka. Or another way of understanding it, a chazaka is a chazaka, just without a taina, there's a problem with that chazaka. Why don't you have a claim to support your chazaka? So what's the right way of understanding, says the Chazon Yecheskel, the halacha of chazaka sheyesh maitaina? So he proves from this last din of our Mishnah, that the Mishnah says, that when I am on this property because I said I got it from my father, so even though I don't have a taina, then I will have a good chazaka. If we're going to learn, he says, that a chazaka without a taina is just not a chazaka, so what's the difference that I can't have a claim? A chazaka without a claim is not a chazaka. It must be, he says, that the way to understand the halacha of chazaka with a taina is that without a taina there's a problem in the chazaka. And here, it's an understandable problem, and that's why it's a valid chazaka. Ask the Gemara. So as we just discussed, a chazaka has to have a taina to make it a chazaka. Ask the Gemara, pshita, it's obvious. Without a taina, what are you doing on this property? Answers the Gemara, Ma'adutayma, Hai Gavra Mizman Zavinlay, Hayara. I'm on the property, and I don't make a claim. Not because I don't have a claim. I know I bought the property. But what happened here was, Vishtara Havalay, I had a document, a Shtar Mechira, Virchis, and I lost it. And I didn't come to learn. So because I didn't come to learn, I didn't know that it's a legitimate excuse to say that after all these years, I don't have the document. And therefore this person just says, I have a chazaka, and he doesn't speak about the document, because he's scared to speak about the document. Because sober, he thinks, if I'm going to claim that I legitimately bought this property, I'm really, Bezin's going to tell me, ach vishtarcha. So, where's the document? And I don't know that if I'll say I don't have the document, it's not terrible. Hilkach, therefore we would think, leimele anan, maybe it should be Bezdin's job to prod him and tell him, dil mishtama havele, maybe you had a document, virchis, and you lost it. And this should be a situation, okay, going there, psach pichel ilamu, that we, and there's two ways of understanding it, that we in Bezdin have the obligation either to make claims on his behalf, That's how some of Farshim explain. Others explain it's Bezdin's obligation to help him make proper claims. And maybe that should be our job here. Kamash Malon. That's why the Gemara teaches us, no, that's not our job. And if he doesn't make the claim himself, we don't make the claim on his behalf. Say to Rishayim, yes, the Gemara is clearly teaching us that we don't make a claim on his behalf. But let's say what happened here is exactly the case that the Gemara discusses. He came in, and he was scared to say that he lost the shtar, so he just didn't say anything. And now he sees that he's about to lose the Din Torah. So he figures he has nothing to lose. He might as well say everything. He can't lose more than he's going to lose already. So he says, I want you to know that I had the shtar, and I lost it. But I didn't say anything because I was afraid you would ask me to provide it. Since he's making a legitimate claim, say to Rishonim, this is not under the category of Toyin, the Chayz of a Toyin, and Bezdin will accept it. Provided, the Rishonim say, that he never left Bezdin. Because let's say he left Bezdin, and now he comes back, we're concerned that he consulted with the Talmud Chacham, who did come to the Shir, and tells him, you know what you should say is you lost the Shtar, maybe it never really happened, and then we won't trust him. But if he never leaves Bezdin, then we will believe him. There is a debate amongst Rishonim how far to take this kula. Some Rishonim suggest that he could just make a claim, as I just said. Others say he has to give an explanation, he has to give an amasla, what happened? Why didn't you say this originally? What changed? And he should say, at the beginning I was scared to say it, and now I figured I had nothing to lose. Say to Mefarshim, if we learn our Mishnah is sort of difficult to follow. On one hand, our Mishnah says, Kochazok Shene Moitaina means that he remains silent. If I don't have a claim, if I don't have a claim to back up my chazaka, I don't have a chazaka. But then the Mishnah speaks about another case, that it's not a chazaka. Because I say, all I have to back me up is the fact that you, the Marakama, didn't say anything. So what's the halacha? Is being quiet enough? Or saying a claim, the reason I own this property is because you never complained. What's the din? Say the Mefarshim, that certainly the din is as soon as, even if I just remain quiet, I don't have a chazaka. So why did the Mishnah teach us both cases? To teach us that when I remain quiet, I'm going to be able, that even in a, that when I'm going to remain quiet, or in a case where I'm not quiet, but I say that, in a case where I remain quiet, so then I could say I remained quiet, and now I'm saying I had the shtar and I lost it. But let's say I say a different excuse, then I can't change excuses. Continues the Gemara. Anav Simon. Says the Gemara, Rav Anan Shokel Bitka Ba'ari. There was a flood in the property between Rav Anon and his neighbor. Ozel had the good, and the fence was washed away. So Rav Anon rebuilt the fence, and he, by accident, rebuilt it the Arad de Chavri. He rebuilt it not in the original spot, but he built it on his neighbor's property, by mistake. And we're going to learn the Gemara the way the Ramban learns the Gemara. Rav Anan ultimately recognized that he made a mistake here. However, Rav Anan, recognizing that he made a mistake, but building a fence costs money. And now his neighbor is demanding that the fence that he built, he should take down and rebuild it again. So he says, since I made a legitimate mistake, and we'll see more of his claim in the Gemara in a moment, you should allow me to keep the fence on your property, but he doesn't want anything for free. I'll reimburse you for it. And the neighbor says, no, I don't want the fence on my property. I want you to break the fence down and put it in the right place. And that's the Din Torah Rav Anan is having with his neighbor. Also came to Rav Nachman, so they came to Rav Nachman for Din Torah. Amalei Zil Hader. Your neighbor is right. Take off the fence and rebuild it on the right spot. So Rav Anan claimed, Va'achsikli, I have a chazaka that the fence is ready here. Amalei. So Rav Nachman says, why do you feel you have a chazaka? Command, because you feel we followed the opinion of Yehuda that we learned earlier. We've been discussing the opinion of the Rabbanan is that Chazaka takes 3 years. Yehuda says that if the Marakama is here, you have a Chazaka immediately. What's the raya? Because if you remember, we learned Rabbi Yehuda's opinion is the why do you need 3 years for chazaka? Because in case the Marukama is all the way in Spain, it takes 3 years till I make the claim. So what's Rabbi Yehuda saying? It's only because he's far away. That's why he needs 3 years. But were the Marukama here, he could make a claim immediately. You can have, and if he doesn't make a claim, you have a chazaka immediately. Similarly, Rabbi Shmuel's opinion is that if the Marukama is there, you have a chazaka immediately. Gemara will learn on Daf Nun Tes. Damri, that kol b'fonof, if the Marukama is here, la'al ta'av a chazaka. And therefore you're saying that your fence stood on his property, and he was here, and he didn't say anything, and therefore you have a chazaka. So Rav Nachman, you can't base your claim on that, because less halkasuk of a sayu. We paskin that you always need 3 years. Whether if the Marukama is here, when the Marukama is not here, to have in a chazaka, you need 3 years. Amalei, v'achel. He saw me building it. And the Rishonim explained, not only did he see me build it, he helped me build a new fence. He participated, at least physically, in my building the fence. Isn't that a raya that he allowed it to be built there? And therefore, again, with the Ramban's shot, at least that much I should get, that I shouldn't have to take it down and put it up. He helped me rebuild it. Amalei, his helping you is not a raya, because that was done by error. Mechila b'tasu, he made a mistake. Because Rav Nachman said, at guchfach, you yourself, you have your dad. Rav Adam didn't do something deliberately wrong. He made a mistake. Had you known that you were building the fence in the wrong place, you would have never put the fence there. Says Rav Nachman to him, ki eichad at le'aviyadet, just like you didn't know you were making a mistake, hunami le'aviyadet. And therefore, relying on his participation in building the fence, it's a mistake. And we don't rely on mistakes. Say it's really a Ramah, but the Shalom Meshav explains it a little better. We learned the Gemara. We learned the Gemara many times. Baba Kama, Baba Metzia. A Gemara called Takanas HaShavim. Takanas HaShavim means that let's say I steal, the Gemara said, Hareish HaGazel Mereish, if I stole a beam from you, and I go and now build a house, and I use that beam to build a house, so Chazal made a Takana to make it easy for people to do tshuva. So Chazal said that I don't have to demolish the home, I just pay you for the beam. Says the Shoyal Meshev, and the Ramah actually says it. Here we see that we don't take this concept of Takanas HaShavim and apply it indiscriminately. Because otherwise, why can't we say Takanas HaShavim, and I built the fence in the wrong place, I should be able to leave it. When it comes to karka, to real estate, to property, we don't say Takanas HaShavim, and it's my obligation to take the fence off your property and put it in the right place. Says the Gemara another story. Rav Kahana Shokel Bitka Ba'ari. There was a flood in the property between Rav Kahana and his neighbor. Ozel Hoda Guda Ba'ari the Lav Day. And again, Rav Kahana rebuilt the fence, not on the right spot. And the neighbor brings him to the Ntara. Ozel Kamed Rav Yehuda, there's an entire by Rav Yehuda. Now, there was a debate. The neighbor who had a claim against Rav Kahana brought two edim. How much into the neighbor's property did Rav Kahana build the fence? Ozel Isa Trey Sadi, he brought two witnesses. Chad Amatarti Utsuse Oil, he went into the neighbor's property the depth of two rows. Chad Amatlaset Tsis Oil. And the other aid said that he went in the depth of three rows. Amalei, so Yehuda Paskin, Zil Shlim, Tati Megoy Tlas. We have a klal b'chlal Masai money, mana, and 200 there is 100. So if I say two rows depth, and you say three rows depth, so we're both agreeing that I went at least two rows depth into the next guy's field, and therefore that much I'm going to have to take back the fence. These two adams, testimony could combine. That's going to be the sugya we're about to begin. But before we begin the sugya, says the Raivin, the Shittim Kabetzis quotes the Raivin, a Rishon. He says that when does the Gemara hold that the testimony of these two witnesses can combine? strictly in a situation where this eight says he went three rows in, and he says two rows in. But let's say one eight said he went three and not two. And the other says, no, he went two and not three. There's no way he could combine those two eight. That's deriving. The Divrei Malkiel, the Shas HaTshuvos Divrei Malkiel, says a chiddush. I found this chiddush in Divrei Malkiel, the only one I saw it by. He says as follows. When can the two Adim combine? If you follow specifically the order that the Gemara mentions. The first eight said two rows, and the second eight said three rows. So we have B'chlam Masayim Mana. Three includes two. But what would be if it was just the opposite? The first eight said three rows, and then the second eight said only two rows. You can't say B'chlam Masayim Mana, because he's saying less, and then they can't combine. It's not Pashut Peshat in the Gemara. Pashut Peshat in the Gemara is that they can combine no matter who said what first. I saw a very interesting tshuva from Yitzchak Zilberstein that he uses this Gemara. He starts with an interesting story. He says, in the Beis Yisrael neighborhood in Yerushalayim, it's near Meir Shearim, there's a shul called the Napoleon Shul. How did that shul get the name Napoleon? There used to be a currency called a Napoleon. And there was once a Jew in Yerushalayim, a poor Jew, who borrowed from a wealthy person 50 Napoleons. 50 Napoleon coins. A tremendous sum of money. And the poor Jew came and paid back the wealthy Jew the 50 Napoleons that he borrowed. This wealthy Jew, besides being a wealthy person, was also a Talmud Chacham. So when the poor person came to pay him back, he was in the middle of learning. He gave him the money. He put it into the Gemara. He was in the middle of learning. A week later, the wealthy person comes to the poor person and says, you owe me money. He says, what are you talking about? I paid you. He says, no, you never paid me. So they go to the Dayan. Go for the entire. So the Rav Paskin, the poor person has to swear. So he says, Shvuah? I never made a Shvuah in my life. I'm going to have to raise the funds and pay him again. And that's what happened. Somehow or another, he raised another 15 Napoleons and paid back the wealthy Jew. It comes before Pesach, and the wealthy Jew is cleaning his svarim before Pesach, and he finds the original 15 Napoleons that he had put into the Gemara. He runs to this person, he says, oh, it's a terrible thing. Yitaka paid me, I found the original 15 Napoleons, and here's your money back. I don't want the extra money that you paid me. And the poor person says, I already was miyash on that money. I gave up on that money, and I don't want that money back. And he said, what do you mean you don't want the money back? It's not my money. It's your money. So they went back to the Dayan, another dentire. So the Dayan said, I can't force the poor person to take the money that he doesn't want to. But the wealthy person says, I don't want to keep money that doesn't belong to me. So he says, you know what? Spend the money on doing something on behalf of the community. So they went and they built that shul with that money. That's why it's called the Napoleon Shul. The question that comes up, which he discusses based on this Gemara, is the wealthy person now considered a ganef? He took money that he wasn't supposed to take. When he claimed that the money wasn't paid, when it was indeed paid, he was a liar. So is he considered a postulate? So he says, Al Gemara, look at Rav Kahana. Rav Kahana went and built his fence on his neighbor's property. In the entire discussion of Al Gemara, he points out, the Gemara only discusses what Rav Kahana has to do. But the Gemara doesn't say Rav Kahana is considered a Rasha. He's not considered a Ganef. Why? Because the Gemara is teaching us that if you did it by mistake, you're not called a Ganef. You're not called a Rasha. And that's why that person also isn't considered a Ganef or Rasha, even though he took money that he wasn't supposed to. So now, Al Gemara said that the two Adim, even though one is saying was two rows deep, and one is saying it's three rows deep, can combine. Amar Kamat, whose opinion does this follow? He says it follows the opinion of Shimon Loza. The Tanya. Amar of Shimon Loza. Lo'inechku Beisham Beisil. Beisham Beisil do not debate. Al-shtei ki te'edu, if you have two pairs of Edom. Sha'achos Omeris Mona, if one pair of Edom says that Reuven owes Shimon $100, Va'achos Omeris Masayim, and the other pair says they owes him $200, that we have the rule that we just said, Shi'esh Bechlam Masayim Mona, and that Reuven will have to pay at least $100. Aman Nechelku, where do we have a Machlokes Beisham Beisil, says Rav Shimon Elazar? Akas Achas, we have entirely one pair. One eight says Reuven owes Shimon $100. Vechor Imer Masayim, one eight says Reuven owes him $200. This is where we have a machlokes. Shabbat Shammah Imer Nechel Kaidosin. These Edom can't combine. One saying 100, one saying 200. But the Rishayim make a point. The Rishayim doesn't use the word Batla Kaidosin. The Shammah uses the word Nechel Kaidosin. Doesn't mean that these two Edom are entirely discounted. They just can't combine. And a shvu would be required even according to Bishamai. Beisil Aymerim, and Beisil are of the opinion, Yesh Bechal Masayim Mona, and they can combine. That these two Edom can combine. So here too, so that's why he's saying, just like Rav Shimon Elazar said that the opinion of Beisil is, Yesh Bechal Masayim Mona, that's what I'm following. Amalei, so Rav Kahana said, and that's what Rav Yehuda said, these two Edom could combine, that you at least have to push your fence back two rows. Amaleva Masinla Agartam Marava. There was a letter sent from Eretz Yisrael that says the Enaloch of Shimon Elazar. We don't follow the opinion of Shimon Elazar. Amalei, Chitaisi, when you show me that letter, then I'll reconsider. Until then, the Alocha follows like Beis Hillel, and even if you have two Edom that we want to combine them, they can't combine to the degree of Yesh Bechlal Masayim Mono. So there's a Machlokes on Mefarshim, why? Some Mefarshim explain, fairly simple pshat, because neither of them is really a liar. We can't call them liars. They're just not, they weren't careful in really watching what happened. That's why they can combine. Others say, a more lumbership pshat in understanding Beis Hillel's opinion. The question is, how do you look at $200? Do you look at $200 as two 100s, or do you look at $200 as 200, not 100? And that's really the machlokes Beis Shammai Beis Hillel. Beis Shammai says 200 is not 100. And therefore 200 and 100, those two Edom can't combine. Beis Hillel is of the opinion, 200 is not 200, 200 is two 100s. So we're both saying 100, and that's why they can combine. The machlokes, these two pshatim would have nafkamina if these two Edom could ever combine according to Beis Shammai in a different Edus. If we say it's just an error that they made, so even Beis Shammai, who said here they can't combine, they can combine elsewhere. But if we say that Beis Shammai says the 200 is not 100, and 100 is not 200, so one of them is a liar, and these two Edom can never combine. Mefarshim ask, the why isn't this considered Edus Shebatal Muktzas Batal Kula? He said 200, and it's only 100. So Mefarshim said we only say Edus Shebatal Muktzas Batal Kula by Dina Nefashis, by Hazama, not in other halachic situations. There's a fascinating Orach Chaim HaKadosh. The Orach Chaim HaKadosh in Parashas Bereishis makes an observation. He says, why is the Nachush called Orum? Orum means that he was clever. Why isn't he called a Rasha? He did a terrible thing. Why is he called Orum? So he says, that what did the Nachush do? Adam HaRishon told Chava, you're not allowed to eat from the Eitz Hadas. The Medrash says this. What did the Nachush say? The Nachush told Chava, you're not allowed to eat from any tree. And then Chava said, I can't live without eating. But what was the Nachush really trying to do? He was trying to create a situation like Beis Shammai, where the Nachush says, you're not allowed to eat from any tree. Adam says, you're not allowed to eat from the Eitz Hadas, so we have a conflict. Once you have a conflict, according to Beis Shammai, the Eidus collapses. That was his Orum, that was his clever to get Chava into that trap. Says the Gemara, Hu gavra the dar bekashta b'aliyosa. There was a person that lived on the upper story of a house, Abishni for 4 years. Also Mara the Basi, the Mara Kama of the home came, and Ashkechei found him living there. Amalei, my boss, Bahai Basa, what are you doing in this house? Amalei, Meplanya Zavinta, I bought it from this individual. The Zavda Minach, that I know that this individual purchased it from you. Asla Kamei Drabchia, they came to Rabchia for Dintara. Amalei, so Rabchia said, E Islach Sade, the Dorba, if you could bring any witnesses that the person you purchased it from, who you claim you purchased it from, live there, E Islach Sade, the Dorba, Eu the Zavismanei, that the person you claim to have purchased it from even lived there for 1 day, Phil Chajoyme, and the Shem said it doesn't even have to be 1 day, it has to be even 1 hour, or Kim Nalach Biotcha, then I will let you rely on your chazaka, and you can keep the house. V'loy loy. Why? What is the point? So the Rishonim say a number of pshatim. The Farshim may make a number of pshatim. One pshat is, he doesn't have a taina, right? Because he didn't buy it directly from the Marakama. So the only way, and we started our shiur today, that for a chazaka to be considered a valid chazaka, it has to be a chazaka sheyeshi maitaina. The only way this chazaka can become a chazaka sheyeshi maitaina is if I have myself a backup that I say that the person lived there at least for 1 day. That's the way most mefarshim learn. So this is what makes it into a chazaka sheyeshi maitaina. Another mahalach that the mefarshim suggest is that we need to do taninim. Bezdin has to help him. He doesn't have enough. The chazak alone is not going to make you win it in Torah. So Bezdin has to give him a little backing. Bezdin is not going to use their power that they have to help him win, maybe because of Hefker, Bezdin, Hefker, unless he has some more of a proof, and that is that the person who he bought it from, he claims, I know, lived there. Amar Yehuda, have you seven Amarav? Says Rav, have you seen the Kameda Chavivi? I was sitting in front of my uncle Rav Chia. He used to call Rav Chia his uncle Chavivi. It was a term of endearment. And I asked the question. You're saying, we're saying, that in order for the person to be able to win this Tentara, the person he bought it from had to be there at least for a short time. And he has to be aware that he was there at least for a short time. Asked the Gemara, V'chayin Adam Osoy Limka Belayla. There are people in the real estate business that just flip properties. So I bought it from you, that you just bought it and you flipped it immediately and sold it to me. So what would be the case? What would be the halach in such a situation? Can I never have a chazaka in such a situation? Because I bought this property from a real estate, the real estate business? V'chazitzi l'date, and therefore I saw that his opinion was, or Chi's opinion was, I amalei. If I am able to say that I saw the person who I bought it from buy it from you, then that's enough. Why? Since he could have then had a migui saying I bought it from you, we believe him when he says that I didn't buy it from you, but I saw the person who I bought it from buy it from you. Says the Rabbeinu Yoina, a Rishon. He says that what would be the halacha that I'm on the property and you come to me and you say, what are you doing with my property? And I said, I have a chazaka. I say I didn't buy it from you. But I didn't say anything if I did or didn't see the person who I bought it from buy it from you. And later I say it. Will it be a case of time because of a time? Says Rabbeinu Yoin, it depends. If my later claim contradicts my earlier claim, then I can't make another claim. But if I was ambiguous, says Rabbeinu Yoin, in my original claim, and I want to be a little sharper with my claim, then that will be fine. There's machlokes achronim, the tzais and the nesivis, that the Gemara is saying now, that if I'm on a property for 3 years, and then the Marakam approaches me, and I say, I saw how this person who I bought it from you, that the Gemara says that then I will be able to prevail, Rav Chiya says it. How do we understand it? The Nesivus learns the Gemara, as it seems from the word in the Gemara. The reason I win the Dentaira is because I have a Migui. The Ktsai says it's not a Migui. The Ktsai says that puts me into such a strong position that's considered like a chazaka sheyesh maitaina, that was saying our entire shir, that by chazaka sheyesh maitaina, you win. Amarava, kavasa de Rechi mistabra. Rechi's opinion makes all this most sense. The Tani, we learned in our Mishnah. Haba Misham Yerusha, if I'm on a property that I got as Yerusha from my father, and it's Sarach Taina, the Mishnah says I don't need to have a claim. Because I don't know what my father did. You can't have a claim. The Marakama can't say, why don't you know how you got the property? I didn't get it. My father got it. So what does the Mishnah seem to say? Taina hu deloy bayi. I don't need a Taina to back myself up. Haraya bayi. A raya that I have to at least say that I know my father was on this property at least for one day, that I'll have to have. So we'll see. So we see that when you don't need a taina, you still need a raya. Similarly, when I bought it from you, I don't need a taina, but I need a raya that you were on it. The Beis Halevi says that in the case where somebody yashin the property from his father and has a chazaka, and the Marakamik makes a claim that the Mishnah, not a Gemara, are teaching us you don't need a taina, but you do need a raya, says the Beis Halevi, the raya is not enough that you should have a raya that I know that my father was on this property. I have to be able to say my father was on this property the last day of his life. Because what's my entire claim here? I'm a Yoyush. But you only can be Yoyush what your father had at the time he died. So just saying that my father was on it is not going to be enough. I'm going to have to say my father was on it the last day of his life. Ask the Gemara, Vadimah, Loi Raya Boy, Vloi Tana Boy. Who says that's the way to learn the Mishnah? Maybe the Mishnah says that in the case where I can't have a taina, like a Yoyrish, or like our case of a Lekeach, then I don't have to have a taina. Furthermore, Ibai Seima, Shani Lekeach, to Loi Shadi Zuzi Bigdi. A Yoyrish may require a Raya, but a Lekeach, he bought this property. He would have never bought this property if he wasn't certain that the person who he's buying it from really owned it. Therefore, even though a Yoyrish needs a raya, Lekeach doesn't need a raya. Ask the Gemara. Ibailu nira by mine. We're saying that we need a raya. Certainly a Yoyrish needs a raya, and perhaps even a Lekeach. So the Gemara now wants to understand what will be considered a valid raya. What would be the halacha if the person who I bought it from, I saw him on the property? I didn't see him living on the property. I saw him on the property. Will that be enough of a raya? Amar Bayihi. As long as I saw him on the property, it's enough of a raya that he was the owner of it, and that combined with my chazaka, I'll be able to prevail. Rav Amram, just having somebody on a property, not acting as an owner, as a tenant, is not enough. Why? Because of an inish, the sire ari, many people investigate into properties, but never buy them properties. So just being on a property and wandering and walking on it doesn't create a situation of a raya.